Mornings on SEN.
It's Kane Corns filling in for Jared this morning. Well, the trade period is going to go nuts, honestly. So many big names, big talking points. Joining us to tell us all about it is AFL.com.au guru Riley Beveridge. He comes to us thanks to Tyre Power. Number one on the trade table. He's in the studio. Riley, good morning.
G'day, Kane. Great to be here.
Ooh, there's a bit happening. Jack Graham landed in Adelaide, said that he was here to see family. I reckon half an hour later, he was spotted by the news cameras at Alberton with Ken Hinckley and Chris Davies. It's an interesting scenario, and clearly this is serious about him leaving the Tigers.
Yeah, as we reported on AFL.com.au yesterday morning, the interest from Port Adelaide is real and it's strong. Richmond knew he was going over there. They had an awareness that he was going over there to meet with Port Adelaide. They don't want to lose him. He's contracted for next year, but as we reported as well, there's a little quirk in that deal in the sense that he has an easily reachable trigger that if he was to stay at Brisbane, you'd expect him to hit in the early start parts of next year. So he's in reality contracted for another two seasons. So what that does to his value and whether or not that changes his value is another question altogether. But this is a player that Richmond doesn't necessarily want to lose, but someone that they're allowing to explore his options given the fact that they are set to bring in Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto, and he's likely to fall further down the pecking order in that Tigers midfield.
What's he worth on the trade table?
It's an interesting one. I mean, I wonder whether or not that aspect of his contract changes his value slightly, and the fact that he has got two years to run on his deal and not one. Now, Port Adelaide don't have much to play with in this year's draft. So they've got pick 8 at the moment, but then they don't have another pick until pick 53, given the fact they traded their future second last year on draft night to move up the board and get Josh Sinn. So West Coast is in position of their second round pick this year. So I don't know whether it's futures picks. They still have to get Junior Rioli through the door. We're expecting them to be aggressive. Chris Davies said that on your program earlier this week on Trade Radio. So I have a bit to do, but they're traditionally good traders, Port Adelaide. So, I mean, the players that they want to get through the door, they generally do. And I wonder if Jack Graham, if they are able to get him through. We know they had a look at Josh Dunkley, so they're obviously keen to bolster their midfield depth. Now, Graham's a bit of a different player, but I like the running power that he'd be able to provide that midfield group.
Yeah, so do I. I think he'd be a terrific addition. We just spoke to Patrick Dangerfield, who we know has been influential in trade periods gone past. He takes a significant interest in it. Players that he's helped come across, including Josh Jenkins, I think Luke Dowhouse as well. He's keen on Jack Bowes. Are Geelong the front runner for this remarkable deal where he comes across as well as pick 7?
They're certainly in the race, which is incredible to think about given the fact that they've just won a flag there. They'd be likely to get potentially Tanner Bruin and Ollie Henry through the doors during this year's trade period. So if they can get another really good young prospect in Jack Bowes through the door and then also pick 7, I mean, it's for all the questions about whether or not they were too old, too slow, they've already emphatically sort of gone past those suggestions by winning the premiership, and then all of a sudden they revitalise their list in one trade period. So it'd be a great deal for them. As we report on AFL.com.au, Hawthorn and Essendon also keen to get involved in this. St Kilda probably a bit further behind. And Brisbane, as Cal Toomey reported earlier this week, another club that's sort of in the market for Jack Bowes and pick number 7, which would have implications on potentially the Josh Dunkley deal, given they still need picks through the door to get Will Ashcroft and Jasper Fletcher across the line, and then they do need a first-round pick to potentially get that Josh Dunkley deal done. So there's a lot at play here. I'm not sure if we have necessarily a front-runner altogether for Jack Bowes, but it's one that's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out over the next fortnight.
And a good get for Brisbane. I think everyone is in agreement with this. Jack Gunston comes in, Dan McStay goes out, and for at least probably two seasons is going to be a pretty important player for them.
Yeah, really bolster that forward group with some experience. And another Hawthorn player who's had a great premiership-winning history at the club and then will finish his career at Brisbane. He's following in the footsteps of Grant Birchall and Luke Hodge, as we know. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out because he's got some good support there in Joe Danaher and Eric Hipwood, and he's had a really strong year this year, I felt, particularly back half of the season when he really sort of regained some fitness and finished the year quite well in a side that didn't make finals and weren't necessarily ever challenging for finals. So I think he's still got plenty left in the tank, and geez, it'd be a good career if he was to finish with a fourth flag at a second club.
Well, it's a third club, isn't it?
The third club, yeah.
We forget that he started at Adelaide. Yes. They're still upset that he left after only two seasons. And then the fallout for Hawthorn. I guess it's not really the Hawks' fault. They had an offer on the table for him, and he's chosen not to take that. But when you look at Shields leaving, McAvoy, the skipper, is retiring. Who knows whether Tom Mitchell is there or not. They don't have a lot of experience. You would think they're going to take a few steps back, the Hawks. It's going to be difficult for them for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, we spoke about this earlier in the week on Trade Radio, just around how they build their list, how they are building their list currently through the draft. We expect them to get another couple more picks in this trade period if Tom Mitchell leaves, which I think it's up in the air at the moment as to whether or not he does or whether or not he stays and sees out his contract at the club, but they'd get picks in for him as well. So, I mean, they retained Luke Bruce. They were really keen to retain Luke Bruce, which would provide some experience in that forward line. I think they are still keeping a couple of senior members across every line, which is probably a smart way of doing it. But particularly through the midfield group, I think that's where they really need to strengthen now. And I think that's where they'll target at the draft.
Are you going to be up on afl.com.au shortly? Trade exchange with Cal Toomey, the absolute guru. What can we look forward to?
Got Craig Cameron, Gold Coast's list manager, on the show. So that'll be interesting, obviously. They're bringing in Ben Long from St Kilda. As we report on afl.com.au early this week, they've also got interest in Tom Berry from Brisbane. But a lot cooking going the other way in terms of Jack Bowes and pick number 7, Isaac Rankin, Braden Fiorini, Jeremy Sharp, whether or not these players all leave the football club and what they'll be looking to get back from that regard.
You're going to ask him some hard questions about what is this cycle going to continue? I guess is everyone wants to know.
Like, yeah,
great picks come in, but then 4 or 5 years later they go. Or after the first couple of years, they're just forced to pay these players who probably don't deserve the fee, but because of their talent and because of the offers coming from Melbourne clubs, they're forced to pay them such a high wage, which affects their salary cap, and that's why they're in the situation they're in now.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they have to pay a bit more to keep players and to retain players, which they've done a good job of. I mean, they retained Jack Lukosius on a long-term deal. They kept Ben King, despite a whole host of interest elsewhere, and they enter a pretty crucial year next year. I mean, I think everyone sort of understands they have to eventually take the next step and make finals, and whether or not that is next year is going to be the big question that Stuart Jew will have to answer throughout the next 12 months. But then they've also got another wave of good young players coming out of contract at the end of next year, in the sense that Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson, who were their first two picks in that 2019 draft year, and then Sam Flanders, who was another player they recruited that year as well as a first-round pick, all out of contract. So, yeah, they're going to have their work cut out to keep them, because they'll surely attract rival interest. But I think a lot of what they are doing this year is to ensure they can keep those players longer term.
Good on you, mate. Look forward to the show coming up. We'll speak to you shortly. That was Riley Beveridge. You can hear him with Cal Toomey, Trade Exchange, afl.com.au.